This is Patrick Donahue. We appreciate you listening this evening, as well as every Sunday evening at this time. As the announcer just said, if you would like to call in with your Bible question or comment, the number to call is 1-877-655-6755. Of course, being at the beginning of the program, the lines are wide open. So if you would like to, if you've had a hard time getting in, why not call at the beginning of the program? We welcome your call. Tonight I thought we'd talk about this question, does it matter what we believe? Does it matter what we believe? I think we can prove easily from the scriptures that it does matter what we believe religiously. For example, John chapter 3 verse 16, which is perhaps the most famous verse in the Bible, reads, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." So it surely does matter what we believe. If we don't believe in Jesus, we won't be saved. He says, Jesus came, died, that whoever believes in him should not perish. So if you don't believe in Jesus, you will not be saved. It matters what we believe. Unfortunately, most so-called Christians don't think it matters what you believe on anything else. They think all you have to do to be saved is believe in Jesus and nothing else matters. This is patently false. Let me illustrate. Here's a passage you may not be nearly as familiar with, is John 3:16. I'm looking at 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 18, and it's talking about, and I have a hard time pronouncing these names, Hymenaeus and Philetus. And verse 18 says, "Who concerning the truth have erred, saying that the resurrection is past already, and overthrow the faith." So here was two guys that were preaching that the resurrection had already passed at that time. And when they did that, the text says that they were overthrowing the faith of some. Some were believing it. Some were believing what Hymenaeus and Philetus were teaching, that the resurrection was already passed. And when they believed that, their faith was said to be overthrown. It mattered what they believed. Phil from Grand Rapids, Michigan, go ahead with your Bible question or comment, please.
Hi, thanks for taking my call. I have a question about water baptism. Let's say, for example, somebody wants to be saved and they receive Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, but their church only does baptisms every 2 months. Will that person be lost during that 2 months if they die before the baptism?
Phil, let me read you a passage, and you tell me the answer to the question based upon what Jesus said, and that's in Mark 16:16. Jesus said, "He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved." Now, according to that verse, would they be saved or lost during that time, that, say the 2 or 3 weeks they were waiting on the baptism?
Well, the thief on the cross that was saved in the very last minutes of his life, they never let him down to baptize them.
Yes, but you know, Phil, I'm going to read to you a passage in Hebrews 9:15-17. I want you to put your thinking cap on, because I'm going to read three whole verses. And what we're going to see, are you still there, Phil?
Yes, I am.
Okay, Hebrews 9:15-17 says, "And for this cause he," talking about Jesus, "is a mediator of the New Testament, that by means of death, for the redemption of the transgressions that were under the first testament, they which are called might receive the promise of eternal inheritance. For where a testament is, there must also of necessity be the death of the testator. For a testament is of force after men are dead, otherwise it is of no strength at all while the testator liveth." Now, this passage is making a point that we all know, that when somebody sets up a will, they may leave all the material possessions to their children, for example, but the children don't actually inherit those material possessions, even though we're in their will, until after the death of the testator, that is, after the death of the one writing the will. Now, The point of this text is that the same thing is true about the New Testament. We'll call it Jesus' last will and testament. The New Testament did not come into effect until after the death of the testator, Jesus, just like a will, a normal will in our day, does not go into effect until after the death of the testator, the one who writes the will. Now, what does that have to do with Phil's last question? Phil's last question was, what about the thief on the cross? Well, the thief on the cross didn't have to be baptized because, remember, Jesus forgave the thief on the cross while Jesus was still alive. The New Testament law, which requires water baptism for salvation, had not come into effect yet. The thief on the cross didn't have to be baptized to be saved for the same reason that Adam didn't have to be baptized to be saved. For the same reason that Abraham didn't have to be baptized to be saved. For the same reason that Moses didn't have to be baptized to be saved. All of those people, Adam, Abraham, Moses, the thief on the cross, lived before the New Testament law came into effect. And it's the New Testament law that said that a person had to be baptized to be saved. The Old Testament law didn't have water baptism. So Jesus, in Mark 16, verse 16, this is after he's died and resurrected, just before he sends up to the Father, he says, "He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved." It takes both belief and baptism to be saved. That's why we see in the New Testament when somebody was wanted to be saved, they didn't wait around to baptize them. Because they knew, "He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved." It took both, so they weren't going to take the risk. For example, the Ethiopian eunuch, when he wanted to become a Christian, he was immediately baptized. That's in Acts chapter 8. The jailer in Acts chapter 16, he believed on Jesus. And then verse 33, even though it was after midnight, it says, "He took them the same hour of the night and washed their stripes and was baptized, he and all his straightway." So even though it was after midnight, when the jailer was ready to become a Christian, they went ahead and baptized him right then. Not because the Bible says if you don't get baptized within 5 minutes, then it's not scriptural. No, that's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is that they recognize the fact that a person is lost until they're baptized. And when you recognize that fact, you're not going to wait around 2 or 3 weeks to baptize somebody. That's taking a risk. If they die during the time you're waiting, then they're lost. That's why in the New Testament, they baptized them right away. We see other passages like Acts 2:38 that teaches the necessity of water baptism. I'm turning to Acts chapter 2, verse 38, if you'd like to read along with me. Peter, speaking to the people there on the day of Pentecost, said, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost." People talk about receiving the Holy Ghost. You don't receive the Holy Ghost until you're baptized. And according to this passage, you don't receive the remission of sins until you're baptized. You repent and you get baptized, and the reason you get baptized is for the remission of sins. Even Ananias told Saul, who later became known as Paul, wrote half the New Testament, he told him in Acts chapter 22:16, and now, why tarriest thou? We would say in Alabama, what you waiting on? Arise and be baptized and wash away thy sins, calling on the name of the Lord. So a person's sins are not washed away until they're baptized, according to this verse. Now, what washes away their sins? Is there something miraculous about the water? No. The blood of Christ is what washes away sins. There's no question about that. But when does it wash away your sins? At the moment you believe, or after you believe when you're baptized? Well, according to these passages, the blood of Christ washes your sins away when you're baptized. Let me read that verse again. Ananias told Saul, "And now why tarriest thou? Arise and be baptized and wash away thy sins, calling on the name of the Lord." So it's not wise at all to wait around to baptize somebody because they'll be lost if they die during that time. This illustrates well what we're talking about today, that it matters what we believe. It matters what we believe. If we believe the correct thing about baptism, then we'll baptize people just as soon as they express a sincere desire to become a Christian, because we don't want to take a chance on them dying by waiting around 2 or 3 weeks. And Acts 2:38 says that we must believe that baptism is for the remission of sins, or it's not being done scripturally. He said to be baptized for the remission of sins in Acts 2:38. That's the very reason it must be done. It makes a difference what we believe in many areas. Now, if you have a Bible question or comment, please call us at 1-877-655-6755. Another example proving that it matters what we believe is that we must believe in the resurrection of Christ, or we can't be saved. Romans 10 verse 9 reads, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Some people claim to be Christians. They're modernists. They don't believe in the miracles of the Bible. They don't believe Jesus was resurrected from the dead. They can't be saved. This verse says you must believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead. You must believe that. That Jesus was raised from the dead. It makes a difference what you believe. We must also believe that God is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Hebrews chapter 11 verse 6 says, but without faith it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Most people I see who claim to be Christians act like they don't believe we must diligently seek God at all. Their actions speak louder than their words. Their lives are not much different than the worldly people around them. They don't really believe that God is only going to reward those that diligently seek him. They don't believe that at all. But this verse says you have to believe that to be saved. Matthew 15 verse 14 reads, let them alone, they be blind leaders of the blind. And if the blind lead the blind, both shall fall into the ditch. That says if we allow a false teacher to cause us to believe false doctrine, we will be lost just like they will. Some people think, well, only the teacher would be responsible. No, we're going to be responsible also. If the blind lead the blind, both will fall into the ditch. If the false teacher, if we allow that false teacher to lead us astray, both will be lost. So you see, it is very important what we believe. It's very important. Brad from South Carolina, go ahead with your Bible question or comment, please.
I don't know if this was live what I heard over the radio, but it was on the subject of being saved by baptism. And what my Bible reads is Romans 8:28 says that we're saved by grace, not as a result of the works of man. If it was by baptism, that means it would be a result of some type of work that we did, which would diminish Christ dying on the cross for us. Baptism, symbol of our obedience.
Brad, perhaps you have the wrong reference. Romans 8:28 doesn't say anything like that, but you're right, the Bible does say we're saved by grace, but Brad, the fact that we're saved by grace, does that mean a person does not have to believe to be saved?
Absolutely, you got to believe.
Okay, so if a man has to do something, if he has to believe, that doesn't take away from the fact that we're saved by grace. Brad, would you say a person has to repent of his sins in order to be saved?
Absolutely.
Okay, so the fact that a man has to do something, he has to repent of his sins, that doesn't mean that we're not saved by grace. Similarly, Brad, the fact that a person has to be baptized, that doesn't mean we're not saved by grace. When a person knows that he must be baptized for the remission of sins, which Acts 2:38 says that, to be baptized for the remission of sins, the very act of his baptism indicates that he knows he needs to be saved by grace. He's asking God to save him through the death of Christ, and the way he's asking God to do that is by being baptized. So being baptized does not take away from being saved by grace. We're saved by grace when we obey.
So that you're just telling me that I can forget about trying to do any deathbed conversion, going to the hospital and conveying God's word to people before they pass away to hopefully to give them eternal life with Christ. I can forget that because they won't be able to be baptized.
Now, we're either going to accept what God says and let him make the rules, or we're going to try to make the rules of religion ourselves. And Jesus said, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. So that is the fact and the final answer. We can't change it. That is God's answer on this. Now, we're talking tonight about how that it's important what we believe. And we know, we've read from John 8:32, "You shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free," that we must believe and practice the truth, because only the truth will set us free from sin. We'll go ahead and take another call. Daryl from Hallsville, Kentucky. Go ahead with your Bible question or comment, please.
Yes, sir. You talking about baptism?
Yes, sir.
You're saying baptism is what saves a man from hell, and I was just kind of curious about the thief on the cross. He was never baptized, and Jesus told him that he'd save him a place in his kingdom.
Daryl, did you hear what I said? Did you hear what I said earlier in the program about from Hebrews 9:15-17, that the New Testament law, which requires baptism, didn't go into effect until after the death of Jesus, that the thief on the cross lived under the Old Testament law, just like Jesus. The thief on the cross didn't have to be baptized for the same reason that Adam, Abraham, and Moses didn't have to be baptized. When Jesus said, "He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved," Mark 16:16, that was long after the thief on the cross had already died. Did you hear me make that point earlier in the program, Daryl?
No, sir, I didn't.
Thank you for your call, Daryl. That was so kind of you to call. And so the thief on the cross does not provide tell us how to be saved today, because he lived under a completely different law than we do today. Now, since we're finding out, we're going to take some more calls in a minute, but since we're finding out from the scriptures that it makes a difference what we believe, it matters what we believe, let me ask a few questions. Do you believe in the deity of Christ? Do you believe John 1:1? "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was the Word. And the Word," which is Jesus, according to verse 14, "was with God, and the Word," talking about Jesus, "was God." So John 1:1 teaches not that Jesus was God the Father, no, but that Jesus was God. He's also God. Jesus the Word was God. Do you believe that? It makes a difference what you believe. Remember that. Number two, do you believe the Pope is the head of the church, or do you believe Christ is the head of the church, like Ephesians 5:23 says? Remember, it matters what we believe. Number three, do you believe in faith only salvation, or do you believe James 2:24? You see then how that by works a man is justified and not by faith only. It makes a difference what we believe. Who do you believe? The Calvinist who say we're saved by faith only, or God who says that we're saved by works and not by faith only? Number four, do you believe Jesus' kingdom is yet to come? We normally call that premillennialism. Or do you agree with passages like Mark 9:1, write these down, Colossians 1:13, and Revelation chapter 1, verse 9, that Jesus' kingdom came into existence beginning with his resurrection from the dead, Acts 2:30-31. Which one are you going to believe? You're going to believe the premillennialists, which say the kingdom is yet to come, or six or eight passages that conclusively prove that the kingdom is in existence now? Now, number five, do you believe, quote, worship with the church of your choice, as many preachers would tell you, or do you believe we ought to worship with a congregation that's faithfully following God's word? 2 John verses 9 through 11, a church of God's choice. Which one do you believe? Worship with the church of your choice, or worship with the church of God's choice? Now remember, we've looked at a number of passages that tell us that it matters what we believe. We've been through I've asked you five questions about what do you believe, and it matters what you believe on those questions. Claude from Boston, Massachusetts. Go ahead with your Bible question or comment, please.
The comments I have, number one, I want to say amen to everything that you said. A thief on the cross did not have to get baptized in order for him to be saved. According to Mark chapter 2, he asked Jesus for life, and Jesus gave him life. Jesus has power on earth to forgive sin. The coming of baptism came after the death and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. So therefore, he tells people, he who believes is baptized will be saved. And that baptism has to be done only in Jesus' name alone, according to Acts chapter 2, verse 38. Peter replied, "Repent every one of you and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins." As long as sin is not forgiven, there's still a separation between God and humanity. Would you agree?
Claude, thank you for your call, and you're making great points about the thief on the cross. We must be baptized for the remission of sins. Acts chapter 2, verse 38. The thief didn't have to do that because he lived under the Old Testament law. Agreed, Claude?
Amen.
Thank you for your call, Amen. Claude. Phil, go ahead. You're on the air again. Phil from Grand Rapids, Michigan.
Hi, sorry about that. I'm in the backwoods of northern Michigan, and I lost my cell, but I did have a follow-up question slash comment. After I believed, I waited 5 years before I was water baptized, but I believe that the very moment, the very day that I believed and put my faith in Jesus Christ, that I believe that I was baptized by the Holy Spirit at that time. What are your thoughts on that?
Well, now, Phil, I love you. You call in quite a bit, so don't take anything personal, okay? But we're not going to have... It's not so important what you believe. It's really important what God says in the Bible, right?
Yes.
So in 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 20 and 21, it's talking about the days of Noah and how 8 souls were saved by water. You know, that was Noah, his wife, 3 sons, and their 3 wives. In verse 21, he says, "...the like figure whereunto even baptism doth also now save us, not the putting away the filth of the flesh, but the answer of a good conscience toward God by the resurrection of Jesus Christ." The type in this text is the Noah and the 8 souls being saved by water. The antitype is our salvation through baptism. And they have there's 2 things in common. In Noah's day, it's talking about physical salvation. In our day, it's talking about spiritual salvation. Back then, it involved water, and now it involves water. And so, what this passage lets us know is that the baptism that saves us from our sin, is water baptism. Water baptism. Baptism doth also now save us. So, there's no way you could have been saved by God until you're baptized in water. Does that answer your question, Phil?
Well, it's very perplexing because in my life I had a radical transformation. And from that very day that I put my faith in Jesus Christ, from that very day, my life was radically transformed. I mean, the chains of sin were broken that day, and my life completely went in a new direction. And
send me your email address after the program, and I'm going to send you a list of verses that prove we got to be baptized to be saved. Our time is running out, and I want to take this last call. Edmund from Texas, go ahead with your Bible question or comment, please.
Yes, I got a question. It's about the girl that was brought to Jesus for adultery. I listened to a lot of satellite radio, and this one guy said that was added to the Bible, and that was something that Jesus would have done, you know, if that happened in his presence. And I just want to know is there any truth to that?
Well, there are 1 or 2 verses in that whole context that maybe have some question, but the main part of the story, there's no question about that. That should be in the Bible. Edmund, we appreciate your call, but we're going to have to go off the air. I only have about 30 seconds. Let me tell the audience my email address, BibleCrossfire@email.com. And we had other people that wanted to get their questions in. So I tell you what I want you to do. If you have a question for me, send it to me at BibleCrossfire@email.com, and I'll try to deal with it. I'll try to deal with it on the next program. So send me an email anytime during this week with your Bible question, BibleCrossfire@email.com, and I'll try to deal with it on the very next program next week. And that some of you are not able to get your questions in because we had so many callers. Send me your question via email, BibleCrossfire@email.com. I'll try to deal with it next week. Or if you want the free Bible correspondence course, send me your mailing address.
Thank you for listening.